Hello and welcome to another episode of a cornucopia of tales and tellers. This week we have a very special guest, Enedina from Sardinia. Hello.
Hello, ciao.
And Simona joins us from Monza.
Hello.
So, Enedina, can you tell me first a little bit about yourself?
I was born in Sardinia and I did studies university outside Sardinia, and I came back to Sardinia for after the university. And I became aware that I didn't know the story, the history of my island. So I wanted to know more. And my linguistics studies led me to discover the folklore and especially the tales told in Sardinian language. So this was my track. I was led inside this world, but I was in even in my childhood, I was in an environment very crowded of creatures, fairies, and a lot of legends. And so I rediscovered this world that I have forgotten in my adult life. And now I am a storyteller. I want to spread all these legends, all these tales around the world. That's my story.
And can you give us a little sort of highlight or introduction to Sardinian tales? Because everywhere around the world has something special. What does Sardinia have? Can you tell us?
You know, I don't know if there are the same genres of tales. For example, we have Cinderella and other universal stories. But the very particular tales of Sardinia are the dark tales. Something like, for example, one tale that I love to tell, it's about the metamorphosis, creatures, half beasts and half human, for example. But I don't want to give the idea of a dark island because we are joyful and we love to also the jokes and laughs, of course, no? So sometimes I like to tell also the dark stories
I
and
love the way that I think it's a fun connection, especially I find when living in Sardinia, the connection between Irish and Sardinian are both of our tales and our folklore is really dark, and it's just like you said, so Sardinia is what the brightest part of Europe, I think it is, and the sunniest part of Europe. So there's that juxtaposition of folklore very dark, but yet life is much brighter, where there's, I suppose, the stereotype of Ireland, plus we have a lot of dark tales too. Yeah, I think it's really good. I think it's very interesting. How, Simona, how is Monza for sort of dark local folklore?
I must confess that I don't know much about the folklore of Monza in particular. Usually the stories I know told by Italian storytellers or from Italian folklore are usually not that dark. Maybe in Milan there's a website I think that tells dark stories about Milan. So there are a lot of ghosts and things like that. I don't know about Monza in particular.
And Adina, is there dark characters in Sardinia, or would there be? So you talked about changelings and shapeshifters. Is there dark characters you would have similar to, for example, one of the main characters we have is actually the devil, or a lot of storytellers call him the boy downstairs. Would there be other dark characters you have as well?
Yes, the devil, for example, we in the folklore we said that we must never mention the devil, and it has other names. No, we use other names, but never say the devil, because it's dangerous. And the funny thing it was that when I was a child, the creatures were just outside the door, not far away. For example, there were a lot of Maria Farranca. It was in the well. Or for example, Marie, La Mamma del Sole. It was the creature of the sunny days of summer. You can't go away during the hours with the sun during the summers. Ma La Mamma del Sole. A lot of legends that was we were of course we were scared of these creatures.
Did you have is in Sardinia, is there any sort of folklore around the food that you would have? Is there anything connected to the food?
Also, yes, we can have legends about food, for example, the legend of the yeast for to prepare the bread. We can have I don't remember, but yes, other legends. You know, the most of the legends are related to the landscape. If you walk in the landscape, you find a rock and you have a legend about it. So, or the shape of a hill and you have the legend. And in every village, you can find the fairy houses
That was
that.
one of my favorite bits going around the island of Sardinia was the fairy houses. And then you had white thorn bushes as well. There was white thorn bushes in the countryside. It was terrifying if you're Irish.
Yes. The author, which is Blossom now. And fairies' houses are in caves which were carved during the Neolithic age. So they are very, very old, 5,000 years ago.
I thought it was very cool when we were there, because there was almost there was wasn't it three gen three not generations three eras of people.
Yes.
So we had the Neolithic, and then who was next? Was it Bronze Age after that?
Bronze Age, and after the Middle Age, the Roman Age and Middle Age. No, and this cave, all these three ages are one
Embedded, really?
above the other.
Sort of
You
piled
can
above.
you can read in the cave all these ages. It's quite amazing. It's like the time machine.
It was the size of them too is really quite impressive, considering they're what, four-ish thousand years old, something like that. It was really quite impressive. Yeah, I loved it. So, Enedina, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about as well is you have a book.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit
Yes.
about this?
Yes, after many years of research and practice also in with storytelling. I decided last year with lockdown, I had the time. So I wrote down all I learned in these pretty 20 years of research and practice. This is a piccolo manuale, which means a little handbook of storytelling, and it's very, very easy to read because it's written only to inspire other people. I hope that many people, especially in Sardinia, come back to tell stories in families, communities, schools, adult people, because you know, storytelling is always, we think that is dedicated to children. We know that it's not only for children, it's for adults, for health, to stay together in peace. So it has many, many resources, the storytelling, especially in these times we are living now. So it's a very little handbook in Italian. I didn't translate yet.
Oh, so there's going to be an English version?
I hope. I'm thinking about it.
Nice. And can you tell us a little bit about the story you're going to tell tonight?
Yes, about dark stories. No, it's a story that it's well known in Sardinia, because there are these legends about these creatures, half animal and half human. When I discovered this story, I was fascinated by the monstrous elements, by the metamorphosis. But when I went to tell this story, it was like a metamorphosis in my mind. I discovered the other meaning, the meaning of friendship and of forgiveness. So I like to tell this story.
Nice. And can you tell us about the instrument that will play alongside the story?
Yes, it's a drum, which is played in a village, in particular in Sardinia, Gavoi, during the carnival.
Nice.
That's the sound you are going to listen with the story.
Nice, thank you.
The Oxman. There are tales about creatures living in deep darkness and coming out from there to visit the human world. People say that there are men turning themselves into hideous beasts, half man and half animal. This was a curse for the crimes left unpunished. One of these creatures resulting from a metamorphosis of this kind was called the Boe Muliake, which means the bellowing ox, and that's the story. Once there were two students sharing the same room. One of them, called Antonio, had the habit of staying away all night. His friend had noticed these absences. He would see him going out right before midnight and coming back at dawn. At first, he guessed that Antonio had a lover, but the point was that Antonio didn't look to be that happy. On the contrary, he was gloomy, worried, short-tempered, and almost worn out by a secret trouble. Then the friend decided to ask Antonio the reason of those nocturnal absences, but he wouldn't explain anything. always tried to make his friend give up. But the latter never ceased questioning, till one day Antonio eventually surrendered and told him the whole story. Listen, you know me well, and you know that I don't always manage to control my temper. One day, I was in a bar with friends for a long time. We had drunk quite a lot and were playing cards. Then, I don't remember why, we started fighting and one of my friends insulted me. In a fit of anger, I punched him and he fell on the ground dead. The other fellows have never said a word about it. They were scared of me, so I've never paid for my crime in front of the human justice. But it was the divine justice that took care of me. Listen to what happened. One night, I was lying on my bed when I heard some heavy knocks at the door, which made me startled. "Who's there?" I asked. "The king," a voice answered in a roar that made the house's foundation shake. So I got up and put on my clothes, ready to give myself up to the justice. But as I opened the door in front of me, there was a monstrous creature, as big as a house, with long iron horns on a bull head and breathing out flames from its nostrils. All around the monster, which looked like to be the boss, there were other similar creatures. They all had ox legs, and one of them was carrying a drum. I haven't even had the time to realize what I'm looking at, that I soon felt an acute pain all over the body. Then I saw long hairs growing on my arms. I saw my hands and my feet turning into ox feet. I felt a pair of massive horns breaking through on the top of my head, and on the bottom of my back, there was a long tail. Transformed in such a way, those new hideous companions soon surrounded me and brought me around as the carnival king of fools. They beat me up and brought me around with them in a dreadful, sad procession, accompanied by the beat of the drum. So every night I'm forced to transform myself and follow such a fiendish party for the whole night, till I get back my human shape at dawn. Now, as you wanted to know my story, I'll also explain you how my curse can be broken. I need an extremely brave man who has the guts to face me when I'm turned into such hideous shape, and who can cut my horns off with an axe. And this way, I will be freed from the curse. But unfortunately, such a bold man hasn't born yet. His friend, who had been listening in silence, soon said to him, "Why didn't you tell me before? You'd be already free from your curse by now. I'm the one who will free you." "Well," said Antonio, "so this is what you have to do. Get hold of a good steel axe and stand in this spot I'll surely pass around here tonight. Pay attention and don't be scared. I'll be in a horrible state. You have to stand in front of me and cut off the steel horns on my head using all your strength. And be careful. They have to be both cut off in the same moment. Only in this way I can be freed. His friend follows the instructions. Before midnight, he is already in the spot Antonio pointed to him and equipped with a fine steel axe. He hears the devilish party's terrible bellowing approaching. He can glimpse it in the darkness and see the boss as big as a house with flames coming out from its nostrils, another one with a drum, and finally his friend. He cannot recognize him in such shape, but it was the only one turning to him and uttering in his direction such a horrible bellowing that the earth shook under his feet. Then he raises the axe, and using all the strength of his arms, he strikes it down the shining horns, which fall on the ground in the same moment. So Antonio gets back his human shape. His spell is broken, and the two friends embrace each other. And that's the story.
Guys, I wanted to ask you both a question because, well, the three of us met at the Crest course with David Heathfield. I know that the two of you spent some time together in Sardinia while Alan was living there last year. And I was just thinking whether you could tell us something about it, because from the bits and pieces I heard, it must have been a really great adventure for the two of you. So can you talk us through that?
Yes, it was quite strange to meet Alan. To meet first online with the meeting on Zoom with David Heathfield, and we discovered that we were so near. When the lockdown was finished and we could meet, I proposed Alan to make a tour and visit in particular a region that is my region, which is called in Sardinia Melogu. I translated it, it's the middle earth. You know, it's the middle earth in Sardinia, they mean. So it was really a meeting, fantastic, amazing for me, because I show it to Alan, the monument of my island, Nurage, the houses, the fairies' houses, and Alan told me the stories inside these monuments, told me the stories of his island. So it was perfect.
It was really cool, because it was a lot of areas I think that a lot of tourists would never see in Sardinia. It was so cool being in, like, for example, the Nuraghi, where hundreds of thousands probably of people would have walked through, you know, and lived there millennia ago, which I think, you know, each of those people would have had stories themselves. And I think it really hits you when you're connecting with, you know, people from a millennia ago, and especially when you're in caves that were dug out by humans. You know, it's just such a fantastic way of connecting with, you know, different eras. My highlight, and I know I've talked about this before, I think the greatest highlight of the entire trip was we were in the abandoned village, and we were sitting under two trees just having lunch, and it was such a fantastic, like, it must have been, I don't know, 2 hours maybe, but it just naturally happened that the both of us just started trading stories. Like, here's a 5-minute story. Oh, here's a 5-minute story that's the same. Oh, here's another five. It was so, like, it was one of those things that could never be practiced, rehearsed, prepared for, or planned. It was just such a perfect, natural happenstance of stories that just came out. And I'm forever grateful to Enedina for that, because it was just a fantastic experience. And we got we got great weather, which I'm not used to.
It was an exchange of two storytellers, but also the landscape participated to this exchange. It was really, everything was connected.
There was such a mix of just cultures coming together. I loved it. It was the highlight of my Sardinian year. It was fantastic. I loved it.
So why don't repeat this experience with other storytellers we met in Crest Course?
IATEFL conference is in Belfast this year, so the Glens of Antrim is right here. The Glens of Antrim is a lot wetter than most people would like to think. But yeah, the trip around Sardinia was genuinely very special, because I keep talking about the lunch. Yeah, the food was amazing too, by the way. But it was just this exchange or trade of just naturally occurring stories. Because something would happen, like a butterfly would appear, or like three goats would walk past. Oh, here's a story I know about that, you know, or here's a story of, you know, butterflies, or the Felicon in Irish, you know. It was just such a natural, delightful happenstance. Yeah. I'm very, very grateful for Enedina for showing me your island.
It was a crack.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant crack. That's what it was. Brilliant crack. Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds fantastic. I'm glad I asked you this question, because I wanted to know more about this trip you two did together.
Yes, we can see the recordings, video recordings, now in your blog, Alan.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, they're on YouTube. I can provide links for them as well. Yeah, because I told the first. It was some of the first ever stories I learned. Actually, we told, because we had the hurling fairy stories, fairies meeting me in my way home, and then very controversial story in Ireland of possibly the fairies dying. Who knows? But everybody knows the fairies don't die. The fairies are the tooth of the Danann. So there we go. Yeah.
So, Enedina, I also know, because I took part in them, that you're leading workshops for Italian storytellers, or people that are just interested in stories. How is this experience for you? Is it a new experience? Is it something you had done before?
Yes, I decided to do workshops in Italian with always online, after the experience with David Itfield with Crest Course. I discovered I was not confident in this means. On the contrary, I discovered that it was very effective. And so I decided to propose with my book, presenting my book to some people. And I had too many people, so I split into two workshops. And it was a really amazing experience. I cannot hope in a better experience. It was deep. I felt deep exchanges. I felt a very need to listening each other. So it was, and I'm grateful that I met you again, Simona, after the meeting in English with David. I discovered the Italian storyteller you are, because I didn't know.
Beginner one.
Now you are very precious. I don't know. You have your own style. Even if you are beginning, no, but you have your own style, that's important.
So thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of A Cornucopia of Tales and Tellers. Thank you very much, Simona.
Thank you.
And a massive thank you to Enedina. Thank you very much for sharing your story and your tales. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Simona.